I got several scriptures dealing with the same subject that I want to talk about this morning. And in Proverbs chapter 14, and then in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, Proverbs 14 and 12, in Proverbs 16 and 25. Now I'm going to read both of them to you. And I think this sums up the way that a lot of folks are today. A lot of Christians today. As well as lost folks and people that need to come to the Lord. First, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. The Word of God says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Isn't that something? You know, very seldom in the Bible does the Bible repeat itself, so to speak. And I think that, in several places in the New Testament, when Jesus is speaking, He'll use this phrase, "Verily, verily." He'll repeat Himself. It kind of puts an exclamation point on what He's trying to say. "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly." And it's kind of drawing attention to this. Now, here in what I want to talk about this morning, in two different places in the Scripture, the Word of God says exactly the same thing, and I believe it's drawing attention to it, to kind of put an exclamation point on it, to let us know how serious the message that the Word of God is trying to get across. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Isn't that the anthem of today? Well, you believe what you want, and I'll believe what I want, because it all's the same. It just, just as long as you believe something. There's one thing wrong with that, is that it's against the Word of God. The Word of God says that is a lie, and that it will cause death every time it's believed. That's what the Scripture says. Before we go any further, Brother Darrell, would you lead us while we pray?
Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we ask you to be with us now. Open your word and speak our hearts to help the Bible. Attend to the Lord and our hearts to go to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Keep your word. Church to the Lord. Bless the Lord and help us. Heavenly Father, we draw close to you. All we do, we honor to you. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. I heard a statement one time that was either on a movie or on a TV show or something like that. And by the way, I want to tell you something. You better be careful getting theology from Hollywood, amen? But here in this movie or show, there was a statement made, and it just made my ears perk up. It was a conversation between a mother and a daughter about something. I don't remember what it was, but the advice the mother gave, and it was something about believing in God or believing in a higher power or something like that. And the statement was this was made. Well, you had better get you a system of belief and start believing it. Like somehow that you can believe in anything and everything and it's all equal. in the world today, people's got the idea. Man has the idea, and it's being pushed more and more and more to your children, to your grandchildren, and even to us. That really, if none of this really matters, just as long as you believe something. Can I tell you something? That the Word of God tells you distinctly that it does matter in what you believe.
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God declares that to a man there is ways that seem like they ought to be good. Can I tell you something this morning? That way back in the Garden of Eden, way back there, whenever man fell, and when Adam sinned and transgressed the Word of God. And folks, let me tell you something. Don't get the idea that there was some big old strange thing happening in the garden. I want to tell you exactly how man fell. God said, don't, and man said, I will, and man did, and he fell.
That's right.
It wasn't no big thing. I've heard some awful, perverted things taught about the actual fall of man. Folks, let me tell you, it had nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with man saying to God, I will not.
Right. Amen.
I will do things the way that I want to do. Well, after man fell, after Adam fell, and after Adam transgressed the Word of God, all God told Adam was that out of everything in the garden, every tree in the garden, you can eat of, you can partake of, except one tree. He only gave him one thing he couldn't do. And guess what he done? Now sure, the serpent got in there and beguiled Eve. Tricky. That's what the word beguiled means. And she ate of the tree of the fruit of the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then she reached over there and handed it to Adam. And he ate. The Bible says their eyes was open. Their eyes was open to the truth of the Word of God that they denied, they rejected, they rebelled against the Word of God. It ain't no big secret why man fell. The man fell because he did not want to obey the truth of God's Word. God said, don't. And he did. And he fell. And because of Adam's disobedience, it was passed upon all of us. Amen. We got our sin nature from our dad. Sorry, Dad. That's the way it is. That's what the Bible talks about. Now, rest a little bit further. Eve has a son, Cain. Then she has another son, Abel. The Bible says that there comes a time when Cain brought forth the best of his crop, the best of the fruit of his hand, the things that he done. He grew his garden. And he done all this, and he brought an offering of the best that he had. You know, for a long time, I understood that Cain, he just brought a whole basket of half-rotten vegetables from the garden that nothing else could use or eat or anything, and tried to offer that to God. I don't believe that. I believe that God, he brought to God the best he could produce. His prize-winning whatever. Because it seemed right to Cain. It seemed okay. Hey, look, this is what I've done. This is what, you know, I grew this. Let me tell you something. I like to grow a garden. I haven't been able to do it in a little while. But I like to grow a garden. And I like it, especially whenever I was growing them tomatoes and them big tomatoes to come in. And Brother, I'd take that big tomato and I'd show it off to you. Amen? Even though I didn't do anything to grow it other than just watered it and, you know, tend it to it. But it was bragging right. Cain was trying to appease God with the works of his hands.
Right.
This is what I do.
Amen.
Lord, this is the best that I have. Lord, this is yours. And boy, you're lucky to give. Amen? I may have used a commentary there, but you get the idea. Abel went to the best of his father. Brought that little lamb before God and sacrificed. And the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel's offering rather than Cain's. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. You know, in the day that we live in, can I just say this very quickly? In the day that we live in, we are being taught on every hand that any way will work. You know, it's like this. Well, that might mean that to you, Brother Sam, but it don't mean that to me. You know, the Bible might say that, but you know, and I've heard people say this. I don't really care what the Bible says, but this is what I believe. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Have you ever said that? You know, sometimes, and it seems like it's being more and more increasingly accepted, that whatever you believe is okay and God's going to accept it. And folks, that's not true. That is simply not true. There's a way that seems right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of the end. Yep. Are the way of death. Are the way of death. Oh, please. You know, here's the thing. The world says that it doesn't know what truth is anymore. And really, any truth, as long as you believe it hard enough, is okay. That's not what the Bible teaches. Both for our kids' sake, for this next generation's sake, we need to get a hold of this thought and understand that, look, what you believe and the way you believe matters, and that you can know truth. Amen? What is truth? You know, one time in John chapter 18, down verse 38, Pilate was on trial. He was brought before, or Pilate, Jesus was on trial before Pilate. And there was a conversation that Jesus was having, or Pilate was having with Jesus, and it goes like this. Now, verse 38 is where I want to get to, but let's back up to verse 33. And this, I hear this conversation going on all over the place, amongst believers and unbelievers alike. Because, folks, we are abandoning the Word of God every day, and we are getting further and further away from God with this idea, well, that's okay for you, but I believe this. And somehow we think that's okay. And everything's going to work out okay. And in Pilate's day, or Jesus' day, when he was standing before Pilate, let's begin in verse 33. And then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Now, Pilate didn't believe this. Pilate didn't care about this. Because if you would have backed up a little bit further, Pilate was trying everything he could to get out of this situation. He didn't want no part of it. Folks, I want you to understand me this morning. That what you believe about the Word of God and how you answer the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit troubles your heart is going to make a difference. And I want you to understand that you're going to be held accountable. Pilate did not want anything to do. He understood. He believed that Jesus was a just man. And he just got to the point, Brother Terry, he was just trying to get out of this the best way he can. But he was a politician. He was concerned about the peace and that providence. He wasn't worried about justice. He wasn't really worried about the truth. He just wanted to get something done that would bring peace and stability to the area. And that's why he was willing to act. Well, I'm getting off of this. Let's get back to this. Verse 34. And Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered him, "I do. Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from you." Pilate therefore saith unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Jesus said there is truth. Over in John chapter 14, he identified the truth. He said, "I am the truth." And Pilate heard him. They come to bear witness to the truth. And when he had said this, verse 38, and Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Now, what I'm about to say, you have to understand what was going on. They were at the judgment seat. He was on trial. Jesus was on trial. Pilate was sitting in judgment. And he was sitting, as I understand it, upon a seat that was called the judgment seat. And I could just see Pilate, if you'll allow me, sitting there in judgment. And whenever he heard this, Jesus said that men that I've come to testify the truth. And I could see Pilate sitting there in a judgmental, authoritative way. And when he heard this, and whenever he made this statement, he just kind of sunk into his seat. And he said, "What is truth?" Can I tell you today, that's the word that's going out all over the world. But it's nothing new. We think of it as new. But this idea of what is truth is something that's been going on since Adam disobeyed God in the garden. This question of what is truth? Can we know truth? And it seems like right now it's going around that everybody's got their own idea of what truth is. And you know, whatever I believe is what matters. Pilate says, "What is truth?"
that he went out and turned the heathen souls to be crucified. In a world where it seems like it's increasingly defiant of the Word of God, Jesus answered this question in John chapter 14. Turn over there with me. I wasn't planning on going there. John chapter 14. I want to read it. I want to make sure that I don't misquote it. I want you to see this. Chapter 14, verse 2. Thomas is brokenhearted. The disciples are brokenhearted. Jesus has just told them, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I will go prepare a place for you. He was preparing them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in verse 1. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I tell you, I love that verse. My Jesus told me that I'm telling you the truth. And if there was anything else to it, I would have told you.
Right.
You can take that to the man.
Amen.
But he goes on here, and Thomas, he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. We don't know what you're talking about, Lord. And in verse 6, Jesus answers plainly. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Can I tell you something this morning? That it doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. It don't matter what truth you follow. It doesn't matter what truth you reject. The Word of God is true.
Amen.
And we can pull it to it. And in that one verse, John chapter 14, verse 6, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father, God, but by me. You realize in that statement, the Word of God either it's either absolute truth or an absolute lie. And Jesus said, there is not a multiple way into heaven.
That's right.
There's not even two ways into heaven.
Right.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You or no one else will go to the Father except by me. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? How do we go to Jesus or through Jesus? Can I just give you what God says in His Word? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the truth. You're a sinner.
Right.
The song that the choir sang this morning, by the way, they done a wonderful job about going through that song. Amen?
Amen.
I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. Who needs to be saved? You do. Who needs to be saved? I did. You do. Everyone does. The wages of sin is death. I know this is simple stuff, but hey, the simple truth of the Word of God saves from it. The wages of sin is death. If we're all sinners, we're all deserving of death. But, that's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad of that? Amen.
We're all sinners. I accept that. We're all worthy of death. I accept that. But Jesus on the cross cried, "It is finished." He took the payment of my sin and paid. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. So how do we accept that? Through faith.
Amen.
For by grace through faith you saved, but it's not of yourself. It is given to him. Folks, I understand the popularity today to believe that, well, yeah, that might be, you know, what the Bible says, but I believe it's just that. It don't matter if you're a preacher or if you're whatever. The Word of God standeth sure. And these things are found in the Word of God. And they are unalterable. That Jesus said, "No man comes unto the Father but by me." Where are you at today? Brother Bobby, let's have a song of invitation.